we are in the evening service trying to complete the book of Revelation, and we have been here 2 years. Can you imagine? 2 years on this book. And now we come to Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to do tonight verses 4 to 6. I intended to do it 4 to 10, but I think for our own understanding, will be good to stop in verse 6 and then take 7 to 10, and then from there a big chunk, because it will be easier to follow. So I'm going to read the passage in the New King James Bible. I'm going to read the passage that involves our study tonight. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands. And they live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, as the introduction, I wrote the paper again, so that we have an idea how this is going to play a very difficult part. But I say in the introduction, this is one of the most exciting passages of Scripture in all the Word of God for the believer. It is really an amazing statement. I never saw, as I'm trying to look and reference any other passage of the Scripture, I never saw something like this. First, Jesus Christ is going to return as a conqueror, and he is going to destroy the Antichrist and all the war machines and armies of the world. So let us see what the passage tells us. Again, there is a lot of books of theology in this passage. There is a lot of division that caused this passage within the church, because somebody believed this and somebody believed the other. I'm only going to comment on what the passage says. Like in Romans 4:3, it said, what says the Scripture? So I want to tell you what says the Scripture, so that you have an idea. At least I got a comprehensive data. No, no, please don't think I know when the Lord comes. No, but data between A and B, they are going to share it with you tonight. All right? In verse 4, there is the resurrection of the believers. And now as I read it over and over, I want you to notice three facts. In verse 4, John sees thrones and people sitting upon them. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. All right? So John sees thrones and people sitting upon them with the authority to judge and rule. Because verse 4 said, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. So these people are sitting in judgment seats, like when you go to court and you see the judge, and they have the authority to produce judgment. This is what John saw. He also sees millions of believers who were martyred during the Great Tribulation, those who were killed for their witness for Christ, and their stand in the Word of God, and those who refuse to worship and receive the mark of the Antichrist. Look at the end of verse 4. So then I saw the souls of those who has been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. Now, who are the people? I question myself, who are the people sitting upon the thrones? And John tells us, we don't have to guess, John just tells here. They are those who come to life again and who reign with Christ, according to verse 4, the last part. Then I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast. So therefore, these people who are judging and who are on the thrones, they are people, resurrected people, the people that have been resurrected. Number two, they are part of the first resurrection, according to verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again. The rest of the dead refer to unbelievers. The unbelievers do not, I forgot to put that note between parentheses, the rest of the dead refer to unbelievers. That note is important, verse 5. But the rest of the dead, that means the unbelievers, did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. So number two, what the Bible is saying, they are part of the first resurrection. These tell us exactly who the people are. They are the believer who has died, the dead believers of all time. And those who rule and reign with Christ will be the believers whose bodies have come back to life again. All the believers will take part of the first resurrection. This is where Satan and his heavenly hosts are bound and removed from power. In other words, there will be a first resurrection, and the Bible is teaching here that the believers will come alive independently of the unbelievers. This is what I see here in John. Now, you remember 1 Thessalonians, what the scripture said that if you want to, I don't have the note here, but I can read it for you in 1 Thessalonians 4, starting on verse 13. It's talking about that resurrection that for the believers. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, the Bible said, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or dead, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe," now I like that conditional sentence, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus or are dead in Jesus. For these we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord on the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And verse 18, give us a counsel. Therefore, comfort one another with this word. Do not fight, people. Comfort one another with this word. So I see then, looking into the point two of my outline, I see that the believers will be raised up, and then those who are alive will be also be resurrected, the changing on their body. Now, point three is this: remember the spiritual forces that fight against God and man here on earth. And I copy the text here is in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. I have a study done 10 years ago here in the church on angelic beings, and these are different armies of the armies of Satan, all in line. I want to look in the in my catalog and see if I find it and get a copy for you. These are the degrees of armies they are battling today against us. And so as long as we remain on this earth, we are always constantly on the hour fighting with these angelic beings. Now, the fourth thing I want you to know is that this happening of Revelation 20 is a fulfillment of God's prophecy in Isaiah 24:21, and I copy the text for you. So this is not something new, there's something come up that God's going to resurrect the believers. Isaiah 24, verse 21 said this, "And it shall come to pass in that day of the resurrection, that the Lord shall punish the hosts of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth." In other words, on that day, on the day that God resurrected the believers, then the punishment of the unbelievers will be established, and the judgment of the believers will be established. Now, verse 5, So tells us clearly, clearly, without any hesitation, that there is a resurrection of believers only. Verse 5 said this, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years. So notice that the scripture says there are to be 1,000 years between the first resurrection of believers and the rest of the dead, the unbelievers. So now you can read book of histories, you can read commentators. They say the 1,000 years are not 1,000 years, they are literal, because one day, and they made a mistake in doing this, they say one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. But the scripture doesn't say that. In 2 Peter, say this, one day is us. That makes a difference, 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is us. And so therefore, God is not talking about this, he's talking about the eternity of God and the unlimited power of God. And so my understanding is the believers will be raised, and many people have asked me questions, well, after the believers are raised, then when is going to be the judgment day and so on. Right here they say it is 1,000 years between the believers and the unbelievers. Now, verse 6, the resurrected believers will have 6 glorious privileges. They are spelled here in verse 6, all right? Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Now, they will be blessed. Look at verse 6. Blessed and holy is who has part on the first resurrection. Blessed. Blessed. The believers are going to be blessed. And there are 2 words that you can use for blessings. One of them pronounces Makarios, means joy and satisfaction, complete and fulfilled, secure and peaceful within one's being, having meaning and significance and purpose. This is what that word really means. See, to be blessed is what man seeks. The problem is that they seek it in the things of this earth. Man wants to be blessed by possession, money, possession, fame, power, and worldly pleasures, but the only true blessing is found in Christ. And so the Bible gives us that in chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed is the one who is going to be resurrected first. In Revelation 14, and I copy the text for you, and in verse 13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yeah, said the Spirit, that they may be rest from their labor and their work do follow them. And so when we die, we are blessed. Now, usually it's sadness, but the scripture is sadness for those who remain. But in this case, in the resurrection, we're all going to be there, all the believers. And so it is important. Now, notice also in verse 6, and I'm looking into the back of your outline, the resurrected believers will be holy. Verse 6 says, blessed and holy. Holy, all right? That is, they will be perfect in the holiness of Christ himself, just as Romans 8:29 said, and I copy the text for you. This is what the Bible said. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the many brethren. And so the believer is going to be just the image of the son. Amazing. No more imperfections. No more shortcomings. Everything is going to be beautiful. Also notice that the resurrected believers never will be touched by the second death. Verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. And not that the security of the believer. This morning, 2 people asked me, Pastor, we are Pentecostals, and we believe that we are not secure. Well, what are we doing here in church then if we are not secure? God has some failures. They are thinking humanly speaking. I told them, now read the scripture with the mind of God, and the whole thing changed. That's what the verse 6 says here. Over such, the second death has no power. In other words, when the 1,000 years pass, and then the whole second resurrection comes to place, then we will not be there to be judged, but we'll be the judges. Remember what they said in verse 5? I don't know how people cannot read the Bible and believe what the Bible says. It's just amazing. We read commentators, and that's what happened. Now, the first death, I'm reading in the paper in the second paragraph, the first death is when we leave this world and pass on into the next world. That's what I call the first death. Now, the second death refers to eternal death, to being separated from God forever. It means to be put into a different place other than where God is. It means to leave someplace other than in heaven with God. And the scripture clearly tells us what the second death is. And I copy the text for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, remember famous chapter of the Bible in resurrection, verse 54. So when this corruptible, refer to our body, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, there is no condition, there is no possibility that I will be dead again. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Is that clear? No more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. They are gone, all right? The Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. They are gone. I'm reading Revelation chapter 21 there in the paper in verse 4. These things are really gone. There is no possibility that God will back into the believers and judge the believers. So the believers are resurrected. This is what is telling the scripture. 1,000 years pass by. Then the unbelievers are resurrected. And we are the judges together with God for the unbelievers. I say in the paper, we have to remember as well that the resurrected believers will serve as priests of God, according to verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests. Priests, look at that. Of God and of Christ. And so the scripture is saying that we need to remember that we're going to be priests. This means that there will be no need of a mediator to stand between God and the believer. Remember 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 said that there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. No longer is needed because you and I are clean. You and I are perfect like God, so I can talk to God back and forth. That makes sense. When I'm resurrected, no now, when I'm resurrected. Right now, I need Christ. See, and that is important. You don't know, I was in lunch and I got 19 emails, mad people, because I glorified Christ this morning. And some people were here. And they think they cannot come because Christ is everything. See, this is not a social entertainment place. And I thought, well, if everybody like it, there is something wrong with me. So I'm going to do one thing. I'm just going to bring Christ way up and see what happened. And I see what happened in the storm. So Sunday, maybe we see few less. But I tell you, I'm just happy because that's what Christ does. I don't separate anybody. I don't ask people to stay home. Christ bring it in. And this is what it's saying here in the scripture. And in verse 6, we are blessed. We are equal to Christ. And now I can see God and pray to God and deal with God in an equal manner. Boy, I think in that and I say, amazing. Amazing. You and I can look in the eye of God and feel no guilty. You know, amazing? That's our future. All right? Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to read the final two scriptures. Ye also, as living stones, are built a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Notice what he said, a holy priesthood, not just priest, holy priest, perfect priest, perfect priest before God. Cannot be done now, had to be done then. Then Revelation 1:6, and have made us kings and priests that day on the resurrection. Unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. That's true. For him be glory and dominion. So what I learned today, what I have learned from this scripture, from this study, remember, I'm going to carry here so that then we rest with this. Then on the next one, we take the next phase of that. I will reign with God 1,000 years and so on. But the important part is, here's the final blessing. You're going to be resurrected. You're not going to be resurrected. 1,000 years pass by. Then come the second resurrection. And on the second resurrection, we will be the judge together with God. And we will have during these 1,000 years a communication with God on equal level, on equal ground, because we're holy. We have been redeemed. And so then we take it from there and see what the story is. So the end is not so bad for us. The end is not so bad. So that's why you witness to your children that they may know the Lord. Whether they get an A in mathematics or not may be helpful, but let's get an A in Christ, because that's what we need. That's the most important part, that they may understand that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and without him, we can do nothing. That is the important part. Thank you, Father, for this short meditation on this little paragraph that help us to understand that our future is great and brilliant and bright. And so, Father, even though our mind cannot understand the separation of 1,000 years, what are we going to do to that time and so on, one thing we know, we're going to have the mind of Christ and the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus like Lazarus did. And so, Father, I pray that we may trust you, that we'll be able not to look so much down but to look up. And when somebody dies in Christ, to have the peace of mind that such a one is going to be resurrected before us if you come. And so, Father, what a blessing is the second world for us. What a blessing. The only problem is we don't know. Our mind cannot perceive it. We don't have a voice from heaven saying this is what it is. But we have your word who said this is the way it is. So trusting in your word, we thank you for what you're going to do with us, even if we die. In Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen.